Head games there, which has been a bit of a feature of today, really, head games. And institutes certainly have had their heads played with today, and I think they're pretty much done for the time being. We'll see how they come back in the second innings. They're Alf O'Neill, who's back in the chair.
Thanks, Marco. Yeah, it's going to be interesting now to see what happens in the second innings, how far Burr would take it before they throw down the challenge to Institute to actually come out and have a fair dinkum crack at winning.
And I'd also like to welcome back Paul Ravanaki, who's doing ball-by-ball commentary now. Thanks, Paul.
No worries, Marco. Look, I hope it goes all right. I was just down here having a quiet refreshment, and I got dragged back in here. But no, it's going to be good fun.
You were commentating on the truck on the freeway before us. I think we're going to have too much problem.
Wasn't it a fly walking on the roof of the baseball centre?
No, that's ease up, fellas. It's all right. We'll push on through, OK?
And I shall step out of the box now and bring in Ty Atkinson.
Thanks, Marco, and I'd just like again to reiterate our thanks and praise for the way that you've put all this live stream together, mate. You're doing a great job.
Well, what the David Gorsey's just about to face up. Forgive my ignorance. David Gorsey is the captain of Burwood, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's nearly made a blue there. So Dave's going to be facing up against Peter Robinson, and Pete's just having a quick chat with Chris Ives down the far end, and he's at the freeway end, but coming down up the hill, as you people down here know what Kuyon's all about. So he's just picked up the ball. He's about to...
Dave Gorsey's coming off of 40 in the first innings too, Rav.
Oh, is he really? So yep. he's in a bit of form at the moment?
He struck form at the right time, I'd say.
Well, that's always good to strike form at the finals. Here we go. Second innings. Peter Robinson at the top of his mark. David Gorsey's just having a quick look around to see where the field is. A fairly traditional field. Got Scott Piker with his hamstring up his clacker, the ball guy, with his he's sitting in first slip. We've got Michael James is at just a slight backward square leg there. We've got Mick Sadu at short leg. Robbo's just about to come in. I forgot to mention Chris Bailey's the other opening batsman, so he is standing at square leg there with Michael Clemens, and David Goodman will be running for him.
And Chris Bailey, I think, made 5 in the first innings. It was his lowest score for the season too.
Incoming. Oh, beautiful little leg glance around the corner, and that's 4 runs first ball.
Well, that was an interesting start to Rep.
Well, I think Robbo, by the look of it, he's tried to do a little in-swinger, you know, with the flick of the wrist, just trying to bring a little leg swing, little leg to off action on the ball, and I think it just hung on the leg side, and Dave just helped, beautiful bat, and just helped him around the corner. So he's off to a flyer start. He's sitting at 400% at the moment, so doing well.
Strike rate we'd all be proud of.
So what do you think Burwood are going to amass in the second innings before they declare?
Do they have to declare, Alfie? That's what
no, they probably don't have to declare. They definitely don't have to. There's no rule it says.
See, that's smart. That's another 4 runs. That's just lovely. I don't know why Peter persists on bowling at that line.
He's just using the pace.
That's David Gorsey all over. He's never much going to be a swinger of the bat per se. He's just going to wait for the ball to come to him, and then he's just going to help around the corner. And look, I don't know what institute they haven't got great sight on the boundary here. So it's making life difficult for the young man. I think it's Huey on the fine leg here.
Yeah.
So you know, I'd slow it up, Peter. I'd really slow the bowling up.
Make David
absolutely
use the
and that's exactly what Robbo did then. There's the KG old line. He's really experienced player. Slowed that right up. Used a bit of a leg spinner and just made David wait for it. And David had to wait for it because he couldn't swing at that because he would have been clean bowled, I dare say. Peter going back to the top of his mark. David facing up. In he comes. Well, he's put down another quicker one, and it's gone way outside of stump. So I dare say that would have been around the edge of the pitch, because David was out there hanging the bat out there for a bit of a fish and didn't quite get bat on ball. But again, all he wanted to do was get a bit of bat on it. Would have gone straight down to the fence for 4. So
seems like a pretty good scene day for Dave Gorsey as well.
Well, I think the conditions are perfect for him. It's right up his alley, and. And look, if he's in rare form like this, you've got to change it up to guys like David Gorsey.
Marco, don't go giving me a hug, all right? Unhand that man.
It's getting amorous in here. I'm glad I'm on the different side of the box now. It's very good.
I'm right in the centre. I'm a little starting to get a bit worried here, right?
A bit of a sandwich.
It's a battle of the tummies in here. Don't worry about it.
Here we go. Robbo's coming into bowl. Leg spinner. Oh, that was in the air a bit.
And it was a nice little shot, though. Just dinked it out to the offside.
Well, I think he picked his fielder. No offence, Robbie Machete, but I think he picked his fielder then.
One run.
Well, nice start. Nice start to Burwell's second innings there.
Hang on, I'll take that.
So what have we got? None for 10, Raph?
Well, there's 9 off the bat. I don't think Robbo bowled any extras, so I think it must be none for 9. Is that correct?
Yeah,
none for 9 at the moment. So I think solid start. And Robbo will be seething right now. I just know he does not like to be hit around the park, and he'll be down there somewhere concocting a new plan for his opposite number there. So at the moment we have got Nick Sabu, I think it is.
Let's see whether he can follow up on his efforts from the first innings, where he took a few good wickets for not many runs.
Gee, it's asking a lot of the 50-plus-year-old man who's just been out there batting for the last 2 hours. He's coming into bowl now, so...
That's it. That's why I gave the game away, mate. When you get to our age...
Well, steady up. I'm not your age yet. But...
You will be one day.
We're all getting older.
Very, very close to an offside wide then. Just slanted across David's body, and David just left it. Julie left it. Didn't want to get involved with that at all. So David, again, has got a fairly traditional field put to him. He's got a backward point. He's got a point. He's got a gully. So here comes Mixadu. That's close. That is close. That's out. Oh. There it is. Very good. Very good start.
Well, Coldrake. Very good start.
Tell you what, your third umpire duties, mate. Even if you don't come back and play, just come and do it. Be a third umpire.
Well, it was straight up and down the pitch. It didn't look like it deviated much at all. I thought, and David Gorsy played it as if it was straight too. So, from all accounts, if it didn't hit bat, which you're very hard to tell from here. Look, David, it doesn't look that happy. But then again, he's probably not happy because he's just gone out. But
is anybody ever happy about going LBW?
Well, no, this is true. So, but I think that helps. Michael Clemens, the international umpire, gives you. You're pretty much gone if that's the case. So, not going to be too many arguments. But no, that's a great ball, great start for Institute. And look, the game might be still alive, Mark. I know you went off early and said, look.
Was done and dusted.
Yeah,
it's not over till.
It's not over yet. It's definitely not over yet.
It's not over until the rotund lady sings.
I was going to go when Colin Begg sings, but that's all right.
Oh, God.
I hope he sings solo rap so low we can't hear him.
No, the Begg boys. Aren't they an institute down here, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh,
yeah.
We actually had the glory of commentary from Kevin yesterday for a while through the effects mics.
Yes, indeed.
Would have been wonderful to hear that. I'm kicking myself. There's got to be a tape of that somewhere, doesn't there?
I think he was using his bear as a microphone.
Yeah, he thought it was a karaoke bar, didn't he?
Or something like that.
And just a quick hello to Kim Black, who's just tuned into the stream. Welcome.
Now, we have the second longest, maybe the longest hamstrings have just come into bat. It would be David McFarlane's, the big blanky left-hander has come in.
Yes.
And they've crowded the bat. They've got all the appropriate categorised people around him that can probably pop up that little catch for him. So they've got their outriders. They've got their Mick James and the B3s on the outside. We still call them B3s?
On the outside
of the inner ring of fielders. And Mix of these coming into bowl, and it's down leg side to the left-hander, so he hasn't quite adjusted his line yet, Mick, but no damage done, and Dave McFarlane's just getting his block again.
And it's good to see Dave come back too. He was injured a couple of seasons ago and had some time off, comes back this year and plays in the grand final. Good on David.
That's a bit of a fairy tale story. That's great news to hear, because he's a nice young man.
Yeah, I've got to say, the time my captain, Kuyong, he was great too, captain.
Well, he just showed a great forward defensive shot there, and there was nothing getting through there, and that was, I dare say, that was a smack on the left-hander's off stump. So Mick's got his line now, I think, and Dave's going to have to do his best to keep this out.
David would have to be one of the tallest line cricketers, wouldn't he, besides Scott Parker?
Well, I think him and Scott Parker could go stand nose to nose if they had to, but Scott might just have it with him on the size factor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't
know. I was waiting.
Can you hear Kevin Begg in the background again, Rev?
Oh, Kevin. We're sitting in the pavilion that the Begg boys built, aren't we? You know, this is great.
After two overs, Burwood are now 1 for 9.
There you go. All 9 runs and 1 wicket down. So I think now here comes a bit of a change up down the bowling end.
Oh, they're bringing Tony on over.
I think that might be Tony Montessier.
Tony, yes.
Well, we've got Chris Bailey. I can understand why they've done this, because Chris Bailey, if there's one little susceptibility to Chris's batting, he might be one for the little hoppy one outside off stump.
The hoppy one outside off.
And Tony is probably the best bowler to be able to do that. So smart bowling change here by Peter Robinson. They've got Mixadu down the far end there to back up Tony if the ball gets thrown that way. It's all in place. Here we come. Tony in the bowl. Well, it's hit the runner, but knowing Gooders, he was just standing. Oh, David Goodman's running for Chris Bailey. He's right on the edge of the pitch. So, damage done.
Yeah.
And he's great. You're right. He's entitled to that. Absolutely.
To that.
Yes. Yeah, little edge there. No damage done. Dave didn't go then. It just came off the top of the bat, the cross bat that Chris plays, and it just got over the keeper's shoulder and was caught in first slip by one of the partial players.
Gooders is not too bad at picking the appropriate time to run either.
Absolutely not.
Mm.
Yeah, just outside off stump, Tony's bowling that nagging little line that he always does, and he does it very well. So,
I guess, Paul, all the Burwood really have to do now is just stay out there.
Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, how many overs left for the end of the day, is it?
38 or thereabouts.
38. Yep. Well, I mean, Dave's...
Oh, no, sorry, there's 60.
60, rather.
60, sorry. Yeah, no.
So, look, it's...
But still, at the end of the day, all Burwood has to do is bat their 60. All Burwood has to do is bat their 60 overs and... And even if they don't bat their 60 overs, they're what? How far behind are they, Greg?
They were 29, weren't they?
29. So the lead's 38. So even so, if they get 150... Even if they bat 50 overs in there, so let's say 130 ahead or something. Yeah.
See, Chris is hitting all these, which is great. And they're all straight, they're all outside off stump, and that's the end of the over, too. Dave's just not going to run. I mean, most other times, if you have Chris Bailey hits it, he'd be taking off straight away. So there was no, I mean, it's just experienced cricket, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, how many grand finals has he won? And he's, to his credit, he's won a lot of grand finals with a team short of players.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's a shrewd old character, Gooders.
Yeah, and great tactician. I'm tipping that there might have been some quiet words in Gorsy's words of advice in Dave Gorsy's ear.
Absolutely.
I know when Gooders was captaining Richmond, you often saw him win a grand final with 6 or 7 players.
So Mixadu coming on for the next over.
Yep, still bowling to the big, tall, lanky left-hander, Mr. David McFarlane. So if he gets his line right, he's half a chance. In he comes. Bowling outside off stump. David just stretches the bat out there for a bit of a tickle down the first slip, but he didn't quite get any bat on it. So no damage done, and he's just getting his block ready again.
I doubt that you're going to see any really big swings out of Dave McFarlane.
No, well, this is true. So... So Mix at the top of his mark again, coming into bowl, and he's just outside off stump again. And which is, look, having said that though, Alfie, I reckon it's exactly what what Burwood needs. They need someone like Dave who's just going to stay out there, soak up a few overs, bat on ball when the ball's straight. And
he doesn't necessarily need to score too many runs.
Exactly
as long
right.
as he just sticks around for five, 10 overs.
I'm not altogether sure, though, that Dave McFarlane moves his feet a lot. He's a bit of an LBW candidate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
well, he's got size 28 feet.
He's
so
got
he's
plenty
gonna,
of, yeah, exactly.
It's like Sideshow Bob out there. He's just he's a big lad. So he's big feet are in the way. And if there's an ounce of conjecture, or, sorry, an ounce of doubt, then he's going to get it going his way, isn't he? Yeah, see, that's a run there, but they're not going to take it. They could, any other day of the week, they would have taken that. So they're not going to expose Chris to mix bowl. Chris Bailey to mix bowling yet. So, and while Davis is keeping everything out, then there's no point to change it.
No, well that's true.
Now the no ball there was a double bounce. Didn't quite bounce twice on his side of the pitch, and therein lies the issue, because Mixer is the B3 player, David McFarlane is the B2,
Mick does do this bit. Having faced him recently, he has the tendency to he just wants to try and bowl it as fast as he can. I think,
and that's old style blonde cricket,
old
isn't
style.
It just tries to bounce
to.
It
Lindsay's just making a phone call in. Lindsay, we can't take phone calls at the moment, mate, so
it's not talk back, Lindsay.
Not talk back, alright.
It's yeah, I guess you've got to give credit where credit's due, though. Mixeter was adapted to the new game pretty well, seeing he was out of it for so long, and hadn't seen it since the black ball. So, he's adapted reasonably well. You can't really criticise the guy too strongly.
No, not at all. No, this game probably suits him more, too. I think it's up and down bowling for his batting style. And
exactly.
It suits him. Yeah, having said that, though, it's funny that he would probably suit. He'd be a better bowler. And I still remember him bowling with the black ball. He was a much better bowler with the black ball because it cut so much.
Four overs. Burwood, 1 for 10.
Yeah, they're still on target. They're fine. But Mick Sidhu used to be a great black ball bowler, and because he put it at that length where it would pitch it like a metre or two in front of you, then cut right angles. And I don't know how he did it, but he was a great bowler. This ball takes that out of his armoury a little bit. Yep. But still up and down bowling. He's good.
Still one of the better in the game currently playing. Absolutely. And I might step out of the comm box for a short amount of time, and I'll leave you two gentlemen with it.
Oh, thank you, Marco.
And we'll bring in a third person shortly.
Off you go, Marco. So Robbo's back on. It'll be interesting to see whether he changes much from his previous over.
Yeah, would have been happy to see Tony again, actually, but I think Robbo's going to try this round leg bowling stuff, which you've got to be absolutely exact with it, and it's very hard to do this, but I suppose anyone who can do it, Robbo can.
Yeah, he's got it pretty much down pat, hasn't he? I mean, he's got his international experience behind him.
Well, having said that, then Robbo tried the off cutter to try and bowl it around the front of Chris's bat, and it got Chris's bat handle, popped up right in front of one of the B1 players there, right in the short leg. Brent, there you go, thank you. And again, he's trying the off cutter, trying to get around the front of Chris's defences. So Chris's body is primarily pretty much on the front of middle and leg, and his bat's just on off and just outside off. So if Robbo can get that little hop just outside of stump, then he's half a chance. But Chris, being such an experienced and great batsman, he's it'd be a cracker to get past him. In comes Robbo. Bit quicker and flatter, and it didn't deviate at all. So Chris found that very easy just to keep outside of stump. So.
And having said before that it was a good seeing day, noticed a bit of a cloud's come over the ground, so it's taken some of the glare off, at least. Yeah.
I'll just make it up now, will I? That's fine. No, that was a nice little ball. Just hopped over the bat and hopped over the off stump, I think. By the way, Robbo's looking at it. He's just asked the question to Chris Ives and think, geez, where did that one go? That was very lucky. Yeah, they're exactly what Chris just said, just going over the off stump. So, yeah, great ball. Here we go. Robbo. In comes. Well, that's something you don't usually hear with Robbo, is a wide call.
No, true. You might bowl the occasional noe, but certainly not wide. He's normally pretty accurate, Robbo.
That was a down leg side wide too, so he's tried the off-cutter and he just didn't quite get it in the right spot.
Maybe he's just a touch head affected.
There's a quicker ball outside off stump, and Chris had no trouble keeping that one out. Top of the mark. This is going to be a leg spin. I can see it in his hand. He'll flick this out around the leg. There you go. Here it comes. And it's just put it on the leg side there. Oh, that's the end of the over. See, that's one thing Robbo always... If you were lucky enough to see his hand and how he had a position in his hand, you could see which way he was going to spin it. And that time he had it well and truly cocked in his hand, and he just... I did say the right way then, didn't I? He had the ball in a certain way in his hand, and he just tweaked it to the leg side. So, no, that's a Robbo-ism that I was able to pick up over my career.
Well practiced at it.
Best I've seen. It was great. Mixon is coming up for his third over now, and he will be bowling to Dave McFarlane once again.
What a mixed bowling figures, Rav, if you can get up to...
1 second, I'll just have a little perusal over here. He's coming up for his third over. He's 1-for-1 at the moment, so he's not doing too badly. And Dave's just held up the gun, proceeding, Dave Goodman, that is. He's just switched sides to run on the opposite side, so no issues. That is a great ball. Dave just out there, hanging the bat out there for a bit of a fishing expedition, and didn't make contact. So, thanks, Lindsay. Lindsay. Thanks, Greg.
Lindsay.
No, that's a dead ball, I dare say. Dead ball. There you go. Dead ball.
Well called, Graf.
Who killed it?
Right, so that was a dead ball. Obviously, Dave McFarlane wasn't ready for it, so didn't play a shot, and back to ball two.
And we've got a new face in the commentary box.
Oh, very good ball. That was just on middle and off, I'd say, and he's just got the outside edge, and that was picked up in first slip. Sorry, who have we got near now?
That will be Brett.
The sleepy head.
Yep.
That would be Brett's guy.
Man likes his beauty sleep, and it never works for some reason.
Well, I tried my best to put you to sleep yesterday after your email early yesterday morning.
That was a leg side ball. Didn't no contact there, so it's it just curled with the pitch down that way. So no issues there.
Ex-Burwood man Scurry, how are you seeing it?
Yeah, they've definitely got the front running at the moment. So yep, all good from Burwood's point of view.
So. You're looking forward to a fairly heavy end to the day, you reckon?
Oh, I believe so. It's hot weather. You've got to remain hydrated and help your old team celebrate.
No, that's hit Dave McFarlane's legs. And I think it probably hit his heel, which is outside leg stump. So never in doubt that was going down leg side.
By about half a metre, judging by the length of his foot.
Exactly right. As I said, he's got a size 38 foot. He's going to go down to... No, that's never in doubt. It's an easy call from Michael Clemens. In comes Michael Sadu. At the top of his mark, he comes in, releases the ball, and lovely defensive shot there. That was not going anywhere except in front of the bat. So nice hit there from Dave McFarlane.
Certainly concentrating well is Dave McFarlane.
Yep.
And that's something that over the years he's always been pretty good at.
Yep.
If he goes out, it's not because he gives his wicket away.
Oh, look, if he was on the Titanic, he'd be still kicking out the back of the boat. He's he never gives up. Never gives up.
With the size of his feet, mate, it probably would have made America before it sunk.
And again, look, it was a polite inquiry rather than an appeal then. It was always going down leg side. Another good over for Mick Sadu. No runs, no damage done, but nothing for Burwood either. So, no.
We'll call that a dead hit.
After six overs, Burwood are 1-for-11.
Well,
Scurry, that thing in front of you is a microphone, mate. It's meant to be talked into.
I was just about to say that they've actually, Institute's actually done quite well getting bales out pretty cheap. innings. I would have been happy to take that.
Well, no, Bales is still in there, mate.
Are
actually,
you still going
no,
this round,
Bales is all right. It was Dave Gorsey. Dave Gorsey was the prize wicket.
And you, yeah, absolutely, because he made a 40 in the first dig.
Yeah.
Well, Robbo's taking the ball again. He's up against Chris Bailey.
Two or three more wickets, Raven. This could be damn interesting.
Absolutely right. And look, I can see the idea behind Robbo bowling, but I don't know. I still think that Tony Montesani is probably the better bowler for Chris Bailey because of that little hop at the end that he gets. And Dave might be better bowling towards. Robbo might be better bowling towards one of the B3s, but you know it has to be, you know, flat chat express down there. So yeah, fraught with danger a bit. I would have gone the other way, but anyway, that's why we all play the cricket and play their own way, don't we?
Certainly do, and they definitely need early wickets to keep it alive.
Yeah. In comes Robbo. Off spinner.
Leg.
And it's just gone through first slip, and I'm assuming that would have gone down leg side, so it's cut across the body, hit the leg, and cut through the and then gone through the slip area. But why I think Robbo's bowled, because he does see himself as the premier bowler, and rightly so. He's the premier bowler of the country and probably, you know, one of the premier bowlers of the world, so he's got to take responsibility and do it.
He thinks that he's got to make captain's contribution of it as well.
Yeah, and he knows he needs early wickets, so he'll be out there trying to do that.
That was a great ball, last ball. It just came straight off Chris's bat into Dave Goodman's gut, and that's always a good thing. So
that wouldn't have gone any further then.
Oh, that's a run there. That's an easy run. Gone over first slip's head. And Jonesy. What's his first name again? Michael. Michael Jones has just picked the ball up and politely thrown it back into the keeper. So now we have Robbo bowling to Dave McFarlane, a big lanky left-hander. So this is what I think Robbo would have wanted. This is Robbo can bowl a bit more heat on it and maybe try to outsmart the big fella, you know, try to maybe get him with some deviation on the ball. So we'll see what happens here.
Scary, I'll just get you to do your turn a little bit more and a bit closer to you, Mike. That's it.
Beautiful.
That's much better. Our production manager outside just called me.
Comments from the super coach?
Well, Robert's going to come. Oh no, is he coming from the leg side? No. I'll let you know in a second. But over the wicket. Sorry, over the wicket. But he's tried the off cutter for the. Oh, that is not far away. But because he's bowled that slowly, and there was probably so much cut and action on the ball, I dare say that the umpire would have said that was going down leg side.
They've been pretty spot on with their calls this weekend, the umpires, I've got to say.
Two quality umpires, aren't they? Here we go. Oh, that's going to be wide. No, it didn't. That just held us long on the edge of the pitch. That's over. So, Robbo, I think that's his third over, Robbo.
And I think to the credit of the umpires, they've been on the money all weekend in spite of the heat. It'd be enough to make anybody lose concentration even for a minute.
Fair call, Alfred, but they're quality umpires, these two. So, you know,
You get no dispute from me on that one, Raph.
Well, top shelf. So.
And we've said so many times during the broadcast, you know, we're so lucky with our officials and the way they handle their jobs down here.
The effort they put in, you've got to commend them, that's for sure.
Well, here we go. We've got a bowling change. We're going for a bit of left-arm action with Robbie Machete. The Moose is coming in, which is probably not a bad move. We'll see how Chris Bailey adjusts his stance and with the different angle of the balls coming in on him. So,
and it looks like Robbo's not about to be shy about mixing it up either.
No, well, he can't afford to, can he? He's got to try
something
different.
I think they've got to try everything because they do need the early breakthroughs if they can get one.
Yeah, well, I think they'd like to have three or four back in the shed in rapid fire.
Absolutely. Here we go, Robbie. Left hand coming in. Look, that was a great ball, I think, because it looked like it was angling towards his off stump and just going across Chris's body. And Chris got the bat down on it just in time. So Chris's solid bat defence is outstanding. And you know,
he's had an amazing season this season, hasn't he?
Look, for more word of mouth, he has. Incoming ball. Nice shot through covers there from Chris Bailey.
And as I said in the, like a bit earlier, know, he might have only made five or so yesterday, but it's his lowest score for the season. He's been up there and made a couple of 40s. So, you know, he is in stellar form too.
Well, that'd be great. It'd be great to see. I mean, he's probably one of the best B1s I've seen for a long, long time.
Yeah, most definitely. Institute definitely would have been happy with having Chris out for five yesterday.
Yeah, it's just a pity they couldn't have backed it up a little better with you know, Scott or Dave following him back into the shed, but
yep.
It wasn't to be, and then you know, quite a number of extras didn't help the cause much either.
Yeah, Mr. Sunbury's has done well this weekend.
Yeah, in both innings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Robbie Machete, top of his mark, is very distinctive bowling style that he does, and he comes in left hand release, and it is just down leg side, and Chris Bailey just got a little bat to tickle that around the corner, and no harm done either way, so no run.
Would appear that Burwood are definitely not out to chase quick runs.
Burwood have shut up the proverbial shop, so yeah. they just want to stay out there as long as they can, and
yeah, I think they're just trying to hold the fort and put it to bed.
Yep. Another over down, but nice first over from Robbie Machete.
After 8 overs, Burwood are now 1 for 12.
So that's pretty slow scoring. Anything could still happen, though. It's still worth, if anyone wants to come down and pop down and have a look. It's going to go for a little while yet, I'd say, Raph.
Absolutely right, yep. Alfie. It's not boring cricket. It sounds slow on the radio, and it sounds a bit slow on the score sheet. But gee, it's actually intriguing cricket.
It's good challenging bowling, isn't it?
Isn't this the way a cricket final should be played? You know, we haven't had a final like this for a number of years.
Oh, that's good, tough cricket, and I think we've got another bowling change on now, and it's Paul Annable. So I mean, this is you know, gutsy cricket here from.
Good work mixing it up.
Yeah, I think so too.
And Paul was by far the best of their totally bowlers yesterday.
Okay, so you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained here. So right arm, leg side, two steps.
And as you said, you know, he's a seasoned campaigner, Paul Annable. So
yeah. He's bowling to the left-hander Dave McFarlane, so we'll see how this works out for all parties concerned. Here he comes. End of bowl, release, and that is leg side wide. Leg side wide, leg side wide. So come on, Paul, got to get your line right here, mate, because we cannot afford just to, you know, give him extra runs.
Don't want to be giving away any extras.
No. But Paul knows that, though. He's seasoned enough.
Absolutely. He's been around for plenty of years.
He's got to get his line right.
And I don't think you'd sort of really criticise extras until they sort of creep up into an area that's a bit silly. You know, if they're bowling 10 or 15 extras, you'd think about it. But one or two here and there for a total is nothing.
No, you're always going to get a couple.
That's right. And I think you cannot question the endeavour and the attempts that these guys have. I mean, they're not meaning to bowl extras, are they?
Absolutely not. They're not doing it deliberately.
No, and I know that most of them are pretty harsh on themselves when they do.
That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
So
everyone hates bowling extras.
You'd
have bowled one or two, wouldn't you, Scary?
Me? My specialty was the beanball.
Oh, you were magnificent at the beanballer, Scary.
Yeah?
Just a marvel at the amount of heads ducking from your beanballs, mate. It was magnificent.
Well, if you're going to bowl an extra, you might as well make it count.
The good thing is they were quick. They were quick beanballs too, mate. They weren't little dollies. Just inside the wide line on the offside for the left-hander. So yeah, he hasn't quite found his range yet. He had one leg side wide. He's just inside the offside wide for that side. So that's you know, once he gets his line right, though, Paul Annable, he's one of these bowlers that normally, you know, gets in his groove and he's pretty good for the rest of the 9 or 10 overs that he bowls. So
absolutely.
Here he comes, top of the mark. About to come in. He steps in, releases the ball. Just down leg side. Just inside the wide line of the leg side. So,
doesn't matter, he's not causing any damage bowling.
He's
like
not.
That.
No, he's not, and they're not getting any runs at the moment. So.
And I think the other good thing down here too is that you know, it's good to be able to have our listeners online listening to what the umpires are saying, getting live score updates from the score box. It adds atmosphere to the whole game. You can Now, it's something that people outside probably don't get to listen to quite as much of.
Look, it's a wonderful innovation for Marco and his crew to get all this up and going, because it's... we've already had phone calls and people ringing in and texting in and saying, you know, how much they're enjoying the game and listening to the commentary, and it's, you know, they've got to feel a part of it too. What was it, Lindsay up in Thailand at the moment, is he?
Yeah, he's Singapore, yep.
Singapore,
yep.
So he's out of the country. He's getting all this straight away from the, you know, live feed. It's a wonderful innovation.
It is too, I think, and, you know, being able to sort of broadcast the pinnacle of the season, and hopefully it can also help in, you know, people get interest and hopefully will come and give the game a crack next season if they're not currently playing.
That's so. a very good point, Brett.
And with today's technology and the fact that the scores are not being updated on Vision Australia Radio for reasons unknown or best not stated.
Out of our control
is the thing. First time in a long time that hasn't happened, and at least people are getting a chance. If they can't make it to Kooyong, or if they're on the other side of the world, they can still tune in, listen to it, and hopefully enjoy what's going on down here.
Well, just to let your listeners know, then Paul just bowled a left a leg side wide then, so just hasn't quite got his range yet, but as we said before, once he gets it right, very good bowler.
Last ball, and then we'll have a drink.
There we go, last ball. We're going to have drinks, are we? Oh, that's it.
Yeah, like drinks every 40 idea. Minutes because it's over 30 degrees.
It is
40
quite
minutes.
Warm out there indeed. And the sun sort of beaming down, there's no cloud cover, so it'd be quite warm out there for the players.
Actually, at the moment, it is a bit overcast, Brett. Yeah.
Beauty. It wasn't before not, when I was outside.
That was a ripper. That was an absolute jaffer of a ball. I am staggered Dave McFarlane is still in there because that was a ripper. So they're just having drinks now, boys.
He can produce one out of the box occasionally, the Paul Annibal.
He can.
Indeed.
Okay, so we'll, in a minute we'll get a score from Barbara at drinks.
At drinks, Florida 1 for 14.
So the scoring rate over the last 40 minutes or so has been pretty slow, but it just adds to the intensity of the game, because it means that if Bird lose a few wickets quickly... the game's well and truly up for grabs. It's nobody's at this point in time.
But we are literally like 3 or 4 wickets away from a nail-biting finish, and that's a wonderful thing about cricket. It's
3 or 4 wickets and the game has flipped on its head well and truly.
See, Berwyn aren't scoring quickly, so therefore, you know, if they do get some wickets quickly, they might be only chasing 50, 60 runs in the last 10 overs, and wouldn't that be exciting?
Well, that's the thing. An institute... If they were chasing 60 off 10, they could still make it an interesting game, because they've got the personnel at the top to be able to go after it.
Runs, definitely.
Well, and you've got to remember, Scotty won't be coming in bowling flat chat either because of his hamstrings. So,
yeah, no, that's right. He's only been off 3 or 4 steps this morning. So
it's not totally... Look, it's not dead and buried yet. I know Marco went off a bit early and said, you know, that it's Burwood home and host. And from, you know, from a realist point of view,
Burwood
it does look that way.
Favoritism, but it's
absolutely right,
not done and dusted yet.
Not at all. So, you know, keep the champagne on ice for a little bit longer, and we'll get back to the cricket after drinks in a second.
That's it. And yeah, anybody that's out there wanting to come down, please do. You can actually stream it in on your mobile phone. Go to the VBCA website, vbca.org.au. Click on the link at the bottom. Then just click on play, and it will put it up on your iPhone. And I'm pretty sure it works on all smartphones. So if you want to listen on the way, you'll not miss out on a thing. And I also believe that live streaming doesn't do a whole lot for your usage either. So it's something you can do. Just a reminder that after the game tonight, there'll be a mixed grill barbecue. Chops, sausages, steaks, the whole shebang, salads, $10 each. Come down and enjoy.
Yum.
We've got a bowling change on the first over after drinks, and at the Michael Clemens, we've got young Huey coming on the bowl. So he's bowling to Chris Bailey.
This will be interesting because I've not really seen Huey bowl much before.
That's a great shot. He's got a single here. And he's gone to kick, and this is going to be overthrows. Well, Robbo tried something different, and it didn't quite work out, but at least he had a go. He tried to kick the ball from, say, halfway up the pitch and to kick it onto the stumps to try and be gooders, but he went off the side of the boot and went towards the mid-off boundary. So, look, from all accounts, it was a good straight ball to start off with. Chris was able to pick up the pace of the ball very early and drove it about a straight cover. So
he took his kicking lessons from GWS, right?
Well, yeah, as it would seem, yes.
At least he's having a go.
That's it.
In comes the ball. Oh, that's a bit quicker.
What?
Well,
it might have been quicker, right, but not necessarily straight.
Well, this is true. Right, it was an offside wide, so... anyway, we have these things, don't we? So no, look, he put a bit of pepper on that one. So
and like I said, I've not seen Hugh bowl, so you know how good or how bad he is, I'm not about to.
That's another run, I'd say. Yes, he's put that through just forward of point, and he used the pace of the ball because Hughie's got a bit of action on that, so a bit quick. So and Chris just put the bat out and let it run off the face of the bat and just put it in front of point. So. Another run to Chris Bailey.
And they're the opportunities. Well. They're the opportunities that Gooders won't miss.
Yeah, well, they're well and truly away from the field there. I mean, you take the run. Now Hughes bowling to the big left-hander, so we'll see how he goes here. In comes the ball. Oh, it's a bit hoppy. He's got that way down leg. No, that's didn't work out well at all, that one. Seems to me, though, he just rushes his batting style a bit. I think he'd be a very good little bowler, but I think he rushes himself a little bit from the top of the... It's an uncomplicated action, but...
It's looking like he might need to just go back to the drawing board and do a bit more practice.
Take his time a bit more.
That's out. Oh, I thought that was going to get through then. That started from the edge of the offside, still left-hander, of course, and it's just curled in on David McFarlane, and he kept it out beautifully, so... Look, whether it was an accident or not, he's got some real potential, young Hughie. I'll tell you what, I'd love to get a hold of him and give him some action. And that's just gone down leg side.
And he's not the first bowler this weekend that's bowled two or three extras in and over either, Rab, so we can't hold it against him for that either.
And I'll tell you what, Robbo's probably doing the right thing here, bowling a young fella in a clutch situation. This is only going to be good for his experience and his development. So, well done, Robbo. He's identified that early, I reckon. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. But you've also got to think along the lines that Frank Bauer, not notorious for his bowling, took a wicket before lunch. So,
Yep.
You just never know where a wicket's going to come from, and good on Robbo for trying to buy one.
Yeah, I think they do need to try everything at this stage because they do need early wickets. So,
young Hugh, about to bowl the David McFarlane. In he comes. Another hoppy one. That was very, very close to the off stump. Great last couple of balls in that over. So, yeah, again, I hope he takes a bit of confidence out of those last two and goes on with it.
After 10 overs, Burwood are now 1 for 19. Chris, you're on 4.
Burwood's going along okay at the moment. They're not really. Don't appear to be too troubled. So
1.9. They've only got about 40 runs lead. So it's not out of hand by a long shot.
Absolutely not. They're not stretching the lead by any stretch of the imagination, but. They look pretty comfortable out there.
Well, coming on to bowl from the freeway end is Paul Annable again. And this is, if you want it, I mean, obviously the massive priority, the priority for Institute, obviously, is to get wickets. And you might want to try maybe an experienced bowler at one end. And I know Paul's an experienced bowler, but you want a strike bowler on there somewhere. And look, I don't think Robbo, I would never accuse Robbo of erring in his decision making. He's an outstanding captain, but that's just gone down leg side, and Chris has got a bit of bat on that, which is a nice start to the over.
Rav, just being pointed out to me by Greg that the difference in the score at the end of the first innings was basically because of the last 10 overs of either innings.
Okay.
Well, sorry, the last 10 overs of Burwood and the first 10 overs of Institute where where the difference was about 26 runs. So,
They did start out pretty slow, didn't they, Institute?
Yeah, well, I don't think they had a choice.
Paul Annable coming on to bowl. In he comes, bowls to Chris Bailey. And that's a push through covers, and it's an easy single for Davis to run. Lovely shot by Chris Bailey once again. Gee, an outstanding young player he is. He's a very talented and gifted B1 player.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's almost...
Player. He's great with the ball, great with the bat, very consistent.
He's almost got his name in the book for every international in the next foreseeable future anyway.
Paul Annable bowling to David McFarlane. In he comes. Releases the ball, leg side, and it's all on the pitch. There we go. We heard Chris Ives. All on the pitch. Here you go. Paul just finds his stumps again. Goes back to his mark. Takes his one big right foot step out to the back towards the end of the edge of the pitch. Dave faces up. Asks him whether he's right. In he comes. He releases the ball. Oh, that's just a bit leggish at the moment. He hasn't quite got his range yet, so.
Yep, there was nothing said from the umpire, so it wasn't an extra.
No, it was always on the leg side, but it just, you just got to bowl straight. You got to attack the stumps at the moment because, you know, we've said it over and over again, but we need these wickets.
Yeah, you're not going to score them down the leg side. It isn't holding back the runs. That's not going to do the job for them.
Yeah, that's right. In he comes. Asking Dave whether he's right. Comes in, releases the ball, and that's... Oh, jeez. All right. Now, look, I reckon that was on leg stump, and he's leg to middle stump, and he's just got his bat down on it and he's tickled it around the corner to the leg slip. So, well played, David. He's doing the job that's exactly what's asked of him. So, no flashy stuff, nothing fancy. He's just getting the job done.
That's all I need to do.
Okay. At the end of this over, there's going to be a commentary change, so... We'll be ready as soon as Paul's finished. And how soon is that? We'll be back shortly. I'm going to swap over and we'll have Hamish McKenzie. Who else, Marco? Peter Lowe. We'll jump into the commentary box and we'll come back a little later in the afternoon.
And me and Alfie will go and grab a refreshment.
Lowe, good afternoon.